Okay, this morning's topic we're going to be discussing is Gnevas Das. And we're going to, the packet looks rather scary, but we're gonna streamline it. It is a lot of information, but it's not so difficult, so anyone wants to chime in with questions, please feel free. Just don't fight me too much, okay, because we got to get through the material. I would love, afterwards, you can fight me from here till tomorrow. I don't really care, but it's a time issue. Okay, fine. So the sugya starts off over here, Gemara in Chulin. Before we start, though, to discuss this idea of Gnevas Das, we know that the Torah tells us there's a prohibition against stealing, right? That would be causing someone a loss by taking a physical item of value that belongs to them. What we're going to discuss now is there's such an idea of stealing a person's mind, meaning can you gain for yourself goodwill vis-a-vis somebody else? Later in the learning, we're going to make a distinction eventually of two forms of Gnevas Das. One we're going to call Gnevas Das of Mamon, right, which is financial Gnevas Das, and the one we're going to call Gnevas Das of Dibor, which is verbal or emotional Gnevas Das. Right? So Gnevas Das of Mamon, we're going to have to discuss this, is going to be where somehow, vis-a-vis conniving, you end up causing a business deal to go through, so the lying or the stealing of one's Das, in the end, manifests into a form of monetary gain. Or monetary loss, or however you look at it. The other that we're going to deal with is that you're going to take from someone goodwill. Goodwill is something which has a value all over Shas. Just to bring a small example, that there is an issue of giving free gifts to a non-Jew. Torah prohibits giving a free gift to a non-Jew. However, the Gemara there says that if you would know the non-Jew, it's somebody who you see on a regular basis, not even a regular basis, you see from time to time, that's not problematic because you're not giving them a free gift. Anytime you give somebody a gift, ultimately, what are you really doing?
You're giving goodwill.
You're giving goodwill, and what are you getting? What are you getting out of it?
Gratitude.
Gratitude, right? And gratitude is worth money, because if you are in the elevator, and you're with a bunch of scary people, and there's one big guy there, and you say thank you to him, and he likes you, if the elevator were to stop now, you have somebody to watch your back. You never know when gratitude is something which is going to come into handy. You tip the UPS guy, you'll find your packages will be in a much better shape than if they weren't, right? So every time that you flatter somebody, ultimately, really, you are getting something out of it. And that would be what the Gneva is if there's a false flattery and you're giving someone goodwill, which really you didn't deserve to do. You are stealing from him that gratitude which he gives towards you. So again, we're going to call Gnevas Das a mammon. That's Gnevas Das involved in a business deal. And Gnevas Das bedibor through verbal or emotional communication. So let's go through this Gemara over here. The Gemara here starts off by discussing from a Mishnah the prohibition of sending to a non-Jew a gift which is a piece of meat where the Gita Nasha is still there, and you've chopped the meat up in such a way where you can no longer discern the Gita Nasha is there. The non-Jew believes that he's receiving food which you yourself personally would eat, but in reality he's receiving food which you yourself would not eat, that you didn't take the trouble to take the Gita out, and you're flattering him for something which you don't deserve. So the Gemara picks up where I marked it off. Ibais Ema, another reason why you can't send the piece of meat is the following. Because you are stealing the das of the non-Jew. He thinks you're giving him something which is roi for you to eat, that he's flattered that you would have given to him. It is forbidden for a person to steal the mind of people. And even non-Jews are included in this prohibition. Shmuel never openly said that there's a problem of Gnevas Das when it comes to non-Jews openly. Rather, we learn it through the following story, which the Gemara quotes. The Shmuel once traveled on a ferry, right? He took a ferry boat. Amarle the Shamei, he told his attendant, Pasie, go ahead and pay off the Mavure to the ferry driver. Pasie, he paid off the ferry driver, the Ikpid, and Shmuel got very upset. My time at Ikpid, the Gemara asked, why did he get upset at his attendant? Amar Bari, Targolos Trefa Havai, he gave him a treif chicken, V'yavanile b'mar d'shchuta, and he gave it to him with the assumption that he had given him a shechted chicken. So Shmuel gets very mad at his attendant. The attendant goes to pay off the non-Jewish boat driver with a treif chicken, and he gets mad at him, and he says that, why did you give him a treif chicken? You should have given him a kosher chicken. He thought you were giving him a kosher chicken. Now this boat driver is going to think that I gave him meat that would have been ruined for me personally to eat, and all ultimately he got the dregs, which I wouldn't eat, and he's going to owe me now a free favor. So the Gemara then goes on to say maybe the mice is not so mukhrach, maybe there are other reasons it could have been why he got mad as attendant. But the Gemara wants to learn that the problem of Geneva's Das, flattering somebody else, even applies to a non-Jew from the following story of Shmuel. So the Gemara continues and gives other cases of Geneva's Das. So Tanya, if you see Tanya, Rabbi Meir says, "Al yisarev adam l'chaver l'isayt etzlo if yodei b'shen esayit." Do not emphatically try to convince your friend. We're on page one of the packet of the source sheets, not my guide. Do not emphatically try to convince somebody to eat by you, and you know he's not going to eat. So this has happened to me that there's an individual I know who will not eat at anybody else's house. Now, it's not a from thing. It's like a psychological thing. It's whatever. And, you know, people ride on him sometimes to, like, get him to come over. But you know this guy. He's a little off. And he's not going to come. And you keep attacking him. Or better yet, let's make it more practical. You know there's a family that lives on your block. They have children. And anybody who has young children knows you don't go out to eat Friday night. You can't. Kids are going to break down. They're going to collapse. You give them a motzi and kiddush, and you put the little ones to bed, right? But, so you keep inviting this family. Oh, come over. Come on. It'd be great. It'd be amazing if you would just come to us Friday night. Please, please, please. And you know they're not going to come. You know they're not going to come. And you're only doing it as a means to be able to get out of them this goodwill that you're showing that you're a good friend of them. Rabbi Meir says, that's awesome, right? Do not keep sending gifts to people that you know they're not going to receive. Okay, I don't have to flesh this case out, but you can imagine such a case where somebody is not interested in the thing you want to give them, and you are constantly trying to throw it down, or as the expression is, stuff it down their throat, and they're uninterested in receiving it. Again, you are taking gratitude, which is not deserved to you, because you know ultimately that you don't need to give it. So we're going to discuss that in just 1 second from the Gemara itself. You're right. So Daniel, right?
Avram.
Why do you think Daniel? Avram Ben what?
Ben Gigi.
Oh, my Moroccan friend. I should have also Moroccan. Fine. I mean, born in Atlanta, Georgia. Fine. Moving on. Yeah. Fine. So we're going to discuss that in a second. But what Avram is bringing up is that let's say your intentions really were good, and if this family down the block would cave and say, yeah, we'd love to come to your Friday night, you know what, we'd just like to see our children scream around the floor and under the table, and you would be elated at that, and that was really your desire all along, what would be, or is it only us, or it's such a case where you don't mean it, and when he tells you that, you're like, oh, no, they're coming, right? Yeah. Well, you know, that's going to be the Shiloh. We'll see that in 1 second in the Gemara. All right, so the Gemara continues and says, so again, do not overly invite someone who you know is not coming. Do not send gifts to somebody who will not receive it, and you know they're not going to say the last is, do not open for them a barrel of wine which you had already pre-sold to a merchant, unless if you inform them. So the way it used to work back then was the following. They would produce wine. They would eventually start to dilute the wine, right? The new wine from a barrel was live wine, and it was strong wine, and it was much more valuable. But, as we know, when you open a bottle of wine, right, unless you have the fancy cork suction thing, yeah, wine's going to go bad within, you know, a couple weeks, especially with our refrigeration. And by then, also, they had the issues, it would turn into vinegar. When you open a large barrel for somebody else, you are doing them a massive covet, right? This is a huge financial loss that you're going to take, that you've opened in this new barrel, if it's not consumed in time. And here, the guy is sitting there, and he thinks that, wow, he thinks I'm such a reach, I'm such a guest, that's so much, I have so much covet that he's going to open and take this big financial loss for me. And really, it's not true. You actually had sold this barrel to the local store, and as soon as Shabbos is over and the guest leaves, you're going to take the thing mostly Shabbos to Shalom's, and Shalom's going to dole it out to individual customers, and the thing's going to be gone in one day, right? So that is what we're saying here is us to do, because you're giving him the appearance as if you think he's so great, but really, in reality, you have this thing pre-sold. Okay. It's not staple, but take. Yeah. Okay, moving on. Don't tell him to use my oil you know, hand lotion, but you have an empty hand lotion thing. But the Gemara says though, if you're doing it for the guy's kovid, then it's mutter. Rashi says later on that to do something for someone else's kovid is the idea of kovid abrius. You're trying to make someone look good in front of other people. Your intention was not to flatter him so that he should be indebted to you, but rather your intention is to flatter somebody so other people should have their esteem for this individual go up. That would be good. I don't know if we're going to come back to that case so much, but again, if your motivation, as the Gemara says, is to offer something which you really don't want, offer something that you really don't have, if your motivation is not to flatter, but rather to raise someone's esteem amongst a group of people, that would be fine. Rashi later on explains that is working through the heter of what's called kovid abrius. I mean, I guess an example that would be that you are sitting by a large table, and there's one person who you feel is a little bit down on himself, and you do some kind of act, and you offer him something that you really can't deliver in order to raise his self-esteem, that the others should look at him like, look, oh, he offered that because he didn't offer anybody else. When the Rebbe goes to the one chassid and he says, oh, I'll take for my own whiskey bottle, but really there's no whiskey. Right, but Salih's Arach ran out, right? Yeah, and it's not really there, so then that's okay, because he's not doing it to get flattery, he's doing it to raise his esteem. Rashi says the heter for that is kovid abrius, that we know we're allowed to break certain prohibitions in order for people's self-esteem and dignity to be left intact. One famous such example would be ripping toilet paper in a bathroom, assuming it's done in a way which is only Asur D'Rabbanan, if there is none there, because otherwise, what are you going to do, right? That would be an example of kovid abrius. Okay, sorry, what were you going to
say? Why isn't kovid abrius apply even between you and the other person? Or is you're lifting his self-esteem? He's down on himself.
Yeah, because you're a big liar. You're really just trying to get those.
Why is it any better in front of other people?
You want to know if a person's true intention really is like that. So I'm not sure if there is a difference. Number one, you might be right. And number two, even if you're wrong, right, the answer would be very simply that, you know, we have to not lie to ourselves. That it's objectively, when it's one-on-one and you do something to somebody which you really doesn't have, you're flattering, whereas in a group of people it's different because there are other people's perspectives that are changing as a result of your.
But let's say you're an Adam Cheshev, and he's someone who's down and
so you're saying there, if you're an Adam Cheshev, objective, if the act that you're doing,
you really know objectively, I don't need this guy's goodwill, but he really needs to
right his stuff. It could be not sure, could be. Okay, fine, moving on. So now the Gemara was going to ask the following question about the barrel case. Okay. It says, Aini, is this so? Va'ula ikla lebei Rav Yehuda. Ula once went to the house of Yehuda. Pasuk lo chavis imukhar sulkanvani. And Rav Yehuda opened up a barrel which he had pre-sold to Shaloms to dole out individually. And so the Gemara says, you see, you're allowed to do that. And that wasn't Rabbi Yehuda stealing the das of Rabbi Zeira. Odie uduye. So the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yehuda said, oh, by the way, Rabbi Zeira, it's not that you're so chashev, I just kind of pre-sold the barrel, right? No, you didn't have to say that. Oh, you just have to say, I. By the way, you should know, I made a deal, I pre-sold this barrel here, let's taste the first, drinks out of it, right? Okay. Moving on. Vibayis Ema, or another alternative answer, Shani Ula, the Chavav leader of Yehuda, the beloved Hachi, now my Psuche Miftachle. So the other answer the Gemara gives is that really that Ula was so precious to Rabbi Yehuda that even if he wouldn't have sold the barrel to Shaloms, he would have opened it up anyway, and he would have took upon himself the loss, or I guess the threat of an open barrel now, which could, in theory, turn into being a loss, and being that his motivation was really with purity, because he was mechaved him, and even if he wouldn't have sold it, he would have done it anyway, then we don't call that Gnevas Das, because I guess ultimately he didn't take goodwill, which wasn't deserved to him, because he would have done it anyway. You should know, we're not going to get into the scope of this year, but this last heter actually, Lamaskana is in contention. It's a machlokes lacha mishnah and the basis, but we do paskin this way. So anytime that now we couldn't go ahead and say that my kavana was really true, even though I knew you wouldn't accept it, this would be a hatter. So for example, Ellie, I'm going to come to you one second. But so for example, let's say I received an invitation, very fancy chasna, rockin' families, people in Miami, money, yeah. I wish it was on our side of the family. They send out these lavish invitations. I mean, they must have invited 5,000 people. I'm like a second cousin, twice removed now at this point, right? And I got this invitation. They know there's no way in the world that I am coming to this wedding. So the question was, is this a form of
Gnevas Das,
So on that already, to the end of the packet, we'll get there, is that if you only ask something one time, even if you might be chashish, he's really not going to say yes. That's not Gneva's Das, because you're not really laying it on in order to get that gratitude. You're being polite. In fact, the Sma and the Prisha bring up Prisha Sma, the same person. The Sma brings up, I think the Bach and the Sma bring up a point, which is that if you don't invite someone sometimes, even though you know that they're going to say no, adrabba, you might be pogay in their kavod. You might affect their honor because, you know, why did you invite me? I know I wasn't going to come. Why did you invite me? But it's the repetitive amount of invite. Let's say this cousin would then send me another invitation and another invitation and another invitation and another invitation, and they might know very well that I'm not going to come. So, you know, based on this Gemara here, it was the type of thing where if I would respond that I'm coming, they would be elated, right? So then we would have a big hector here, again, because they're very rich and they don't really care. And it looks good for them to have all their family come to the chasna. So over here we see that even though you may know the person is not going to accept it, or that you are, you know, really not offering something which is ultimately so special for another reason, but if you would have meant it anyway, then you're not taking gratitude doesn't belong to you, because in your heart, that's something that you would have given anyway, and that counts. That's going to be a big heter in interpersonal relationships with people, that if I want to go on through it anyway, despite, you know, the fact that in this particular instance, I didn't go through such a big tercha for the person, you're still allowed to have it be perceived as if that you did go through a big tercha.
What about avoiding insulting somebody, you know, because, you know,
that's what I said in the beginning.
Small community.
Well, I'm sorry?
In a relatively small community, right. The word gets out, you know, somebody hears, oh, that person was invited, I wasn't invited, and, you know,
That's what the Sma said. The Sma said that the Isser of overly inviting or overly pushing something on somebody is, like I said, overly doing it. Doing it one time is not considered, even though you know they're going to say no, because you might have, like you said, the inverse effect, which is that you're going to actually cause their esteem to be dropped, right? The Sma brings that up. Ellie, you're going to ask something. Are you good? Okay. So that is the basic sugya. So we're going to just briefly look at the Rashi over here on the top right corner. Between the Gunev Daite. He said, He thinks the Jew really likes him because he went through all this work to remove the sciatic nerve. Not easy to remove the sciatic nerve. Until he would himself have eaten it. So Rashi explains what we've been saying all along, that the problem is you're getting free goodwill for free. Okay, now, the Gemara on the next page is a very interesting Gemara. If you turn to page 3 of the packet, on the bottom, the Gemara recounts an interesting story here. We'll start at the top of the Gemara. This Gemara's backdrop was the following. What's up?
Why do you assume that the guy is assuming that the Jew gave it without the Gittin Rashi?
That is an excellent question. And why do you assume that he hadn't pre-sold the barrel also?
Right.
That's an excellent question. And at what point do you need to clarify what you're doing? And at what point, right? Exactly. No, that's a very, you're on the mark. We're about to do that right now. Just wait 20 seconds, you'll get your answer. Good, very good. Okay, I mean, what Mr. Sanders over here is asking is that, you know, when you do something for somebody else, who says they on the other end are assuming that you're doing such a great thing for them, A, and B, who says they have the right to assume such a thing like that? Maybe you're not. It's not my problem. If I walk around and it causes people to think that, you know, I'm doing wonderful things for them and really I'm not, you know, why is it my problem to clarify that to them? That's their own stupidity that they thought that way, right? We'll see. So fine. So
you think Gneva's Das is a problem of stealing goodwill? Is that how you would
That is it? The way Rashi says. Tovas Hana.
Right. Is it a problem of tricking somebody? Or making
You're stealing goodwill. You have to do an act of trickery to get the goodwill. That would be the stealing.
Is the word Gneva used on purpose because it's a form of stealing?
Yes.
Maybe all it means is to trick somebody and we just...
Well, I mean, English is a tricky language, so no pun intended. But, you know, if I tell you look over there and I grab your packet from you, did I steal or did I trick you?
Both.
You did both.
I used tricking as a means to steal. Okay, fine. So ultimately, though, what I would define the mice is an act of theft. So when you take someone's goodwill, it doesn't belong to you, it doesn't matter how you did it. And the other day, what you did is took something that didn't belong to you.
What I meant to say is that...
You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it.
What's not coming to you is extra goodwill. If no extra goodwill comes to you, then it's not getting his death. That's
also true. If you're not going to get any goodwill of it, but there's an assumption, which we said in the beginning of this year, which is that any time that you do a favor for somebody else, Chazal views that as being a tangible form of goodwill. We brought an example, but yeah, that's a fact. That's a shot's fact.
The word gneva here is used very, very specifically. So
yes, gneva. Just like stealing money, you can steal will. Exactly, precisely.
When you say gneva's das, it's not really das, it's more gneva's
Das means person's... Okay, that's das.
Right, I'm just
das is your emotional, your mental state. Yeah, good, okay.
This is the Rabbanan.
No, big machlokes. We're going to get there. We are going to get there, yes. We have time, so we're going to get there. Okay, moving on, yeah. It's a good point also. We're going to get there. And they're nafkaminas. And there might be differences between different forms of Gnevas Das. What's Dereis and what is Derabbanan. Okay, so the Gemara over here on Dafsach Da'al Amud Beis is referring to a very interesting... sociocultural period of time for the Jews, where we had regulations on kosher meat, and that was that you were not allowed to shecht any meat in certain cities in Eretz Yisrael during the times of the Second Beis Hamikdash, and it was the meat industry was regulated, and you were only allowed to shecht it in a central market. Now, the reason why we did that was to enable non-Jews the ability to get involved in the meat business, right? Because if anyone had the right to shecht meat and sell it to you, so pretty much you're just trusting the guy who's selling it to you that it's kosher. So if it's a Jew, and we're not choshed, he doesn't have eras, you know, Eirech HaNemah B'Yisurim, Ikra Din, a Jew tells you this is kosher, you're allowed to believe him and eat it. If a non-Jew comes to sell you something, you tell him, take a hike, I have no idea if it's true or not, I don't have the right to trust that that's true. But if I can regulate all shechita, and I can cause that it should only be done in one central locale, and we can make sure that nobody else in the city is doing shechita, then even if a non-Jew, you know, buys and trades meat, we can trust him at this point because all the meat's coming from one central location. That's kind of like the way it is today with chicken. It's all empire. No matter if it's Shalom's and they put it in their own package, it's empire chicken, right? It's all coming from one place, yeah? Okay, that's a joke. It's not really the same thing. But anyway, so the Gemara would say the following. Let's say one day in the shuk, a treifa would happen, right? They would do a shechita. Someone would batch the shechita. They would find that it's a treifa. Now, all of a sudden, we have in circulation non-kosher meat, which has hit the marketplace. Now, we're not just going to burn it because that's money right there. Cows are money. What we do is sell to a non-Jew. But what would happen is if we would make a hachraza, they would make an announcement in the shuk and say that non-kosher meat is now around. Buyer beware. Do not buy. They have to wait a certain amount of time until that meat could properly be consumed by non-Jewish clientele. And at that point, we'd be able to resume trusting everybody with meat because we had the meat regulated. So the Gemara over here wants to know, what was the exact language of the announcement they would make? So the Gemara here says, page 2 in the packets where I've marked it. Hey, Machrizen, what would they say when they would announce? Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Nafal Bisra Livnei Chela, that meat has fallen to the Gentiles. So that's what they would say. The meat has fallen to the Gentiles. The lema nafal treifasa lechela. Why don't they say that a treifa has fallen to the Gentiles? The lozvini, they wouldn't buy it. Nobody wants to hear that. Oh, the garbage happened now. Yeah, only non-Jews can buy. That doesn't make the food seem so appetizing to them, and they're not going to want to buy it. So they say meat has fallen to the Gentiles is one thing. To say, you know, there's a mangled animal here for non-Jews, that's not exactly something they're going to want to buy. The Gemara says, but wait a minute. Well, how can we tell you? But now you're tricking them. You're going to give them inferior product, which you would have grossed them out had you stated it in a different way. And now that you state it in the normal way, they're going to buy it, thinking with the assumption that it's good stuff, right? So the Gemara says, no. They are tricking themselves. Nobody told you this was kosher. You decided on your own if you thought it was kosher. We said meat has fallen to the Gentiles, right? We didn't assure you that it's kosher meat. You can think whatever you want to think about it. I didn't do anything to change your viewpoint that you should think that you're getting a certain quality. Kihad the Marzutra Breder of Nachman, like the following story. Now, by the way, this story is like super geschmack. They went from the city of Sichra to the city of Bei Mechuza. Okay, so we had Rav Nachman, we had Marzutra, Breder of Nachman. Marzutra is taking a trip. We have two other Marayim, Rava and Rav Safra, they're going to that same city. Pagu Adani, they met in the marketplace. The two Talmidim and the Rebbe, they ran into each other. Who's Savra La'ape Udekaasi? And Marzutra thought that his two Talmidim were coming to meet him. Right? He says, I'm touched. Why is it that you two rabbis came out so far to meet me? Rav Safra said, we didn't know you were coming. Right? We didn't come for you. But if we had known, we would have even traveled further for you. So he informs him that this meeting they had was pure happenstance, and that they did not go through such excessive amounts of travel to meet up with their Rebbe. So they're walking away. Overly, Rava turns to Rav Safra. My time, Amris Lehochi, the actual Daite. Why would you tell him that? You hurt his feelings. But otherwise we'd be tricking him. Kenevis das. We don't have the right to trick our Rebbe like that. Ew, the Kamate Anavshe. He tricked himself, right? Meaning, we didn't tell him we came all the way out here, Rebbe, to meet you. He saw us. He presumed. He made an assumption, right? And he assumed that we had traveled all the way out to meet him. Really, it was an incredible act of Shkocha Pratis. We had bumped into each other in the Shuk. That's his problem, right? And Rabbi says, reviews it, what you did was actually wrong. You know, what are you making him feel bad? Oh, you're having, we didn't come out to meet you, you know. But we would have, don't worry, you know. So, because over here, so this is a big concept over here. So we're going to leave Rashi out of the discussion, and we're going to purely move over to Tosfos. Tosfos over here on the bottom right comes out with the following clout. He says, anytime something is presumed naturally to be a certain way, and that is the stomus, that is the default. If you take advantage of that, then that's going to be Gneva's Das. So for example, by the wine, it must have been, Senior Sanders, right, to answer you, it must have been by the wine. When you open up a brand new barrel, yeah, it is not a common thing that you have the thing already, you know, contracted to be given to the local store to be doled out individually. Right. What?
Normally, when you give something to a
non-Jew, the Rishonim do discuss this, and they assume that if you have meat on your person, seemingly you're carrying meat which is fitting for you to eat. Like you went through a trip, you decide what you're going to pay him. For the ritual was a matana, for the other Rishonim was a payment. Right, it's very important that point. We'll get back to. But the assumption is that you're going to pay him with something that you have that you eat. Who carries around their meat that's not kosher on them? In fact, there's even an Isser to carry meat, not that the guy knows this, there's actually an Isser to carry meat that's not kosher on you because you might come to eat it. It was discussed, the party skipped in the previous Gemara. But again, so Tosfos says you need to subjectively decide on each and every single situation. So let's go through a couple examples very quickly. Probably a good majority of people in this room have had an early morning chavrusa before. One of those 5:45 a.m., one of those 6:30 a.m.s, right? As we all know, with all these type of chavrusa shafts, yeah, who can attest to what happens eventually?
Drop out.
You drop out, but you don't just drop out right away. You start coming a little later, 6:35, 6:40, 6:42. You know, Mashu comes out, right? And then it ends up becoming like this big race between you and your chavrusa, like who's going to shame the other guy. Now, none of this is said out loud, by the way, of course, naturally, right? But there is this, you know, emotional tug of war going on. If you can't relate, you know, maybe it's just me, I don't know what to tell you, but this happens all the time, right? So all of a sudden, you come at 6:47. And you get there, you run in, you park your car, you didn't see his car in the parking lot, you throw your jacket off, you pull the safer, he walks in, 6:51, right? Yeah? So I'm sorry, you know, it's a rough night with the kids, like that, like, tomorrow's gonna be a little bit of a better day, like that. Are you machleev to tell him, oh, buddy, you know, I walked in 4 minutes ago? Are you machleev or no? What do you say?
I would.
You would, because you're a nice guy, Dr. Cooper. But we don't deal with nice guys, we want to know what the halacha is, right? Are you machleev to tell him, I only walked in 4 minutes ago?
I would say probably not.
Why not?
You still were there before him, and what did he lose? What did he lose? And
another
what
point.
Did
you... Another point. The point is over there is that you are gaining from him a certain respect and admiration. Mm. You're also gaining from him, you know, that he should feel bad. He feels indebted to you. When a guy feels that he's wronged you by showing a blade on you, he's gonna bust his chops and do something for you in the future. You've gained some kind of a tangible form.
But why is that? Why is that wrong in this case? So he'll feel better, and next time he'll be on time. What's wrong with that?
Okay, but we said there's a problem of stealing somebody's dust.
Yeah, but his point is that it's for the sake of more Torah.
Well, maybe that's a heter, maybe that's not a heter. I don't know if Torah is a heter or lie to somebody.
Did I lie? I didn't give him any information.
You're throwing out svaras, what we call from the Baich. You're throwing out svaras, but now you hit the right one, yeah? That's what we just saw in the Gemara, right?
Yeah.
He tricked himself.
Bingo.
I didn't trick him. And if you want to look at what is the stomach, what is it? What?
The stomach is that you're there on time.
No, you
he tricked himself to thinking that I was on time.
Be there at 6:30.
Look at you, you're such a Yankee, unbelievable. We're talking about two miles off, and they're exhausted out of their cave, and they have four children, and children screaming, and every single day they're not showing up on time anyway. Just because you see one guy peacefully sitting there at 6:51 doesn't mean he didn't get there at 6:47.
Right.
Pashas, he did get there at 6:47, he didn't get there, right? You know, it's you're a sweet booker, and you continue to set your alarm on time and always show up early for your chavrusa. But that's not the way it usually goes for the rental.
That's really a mind game. That's really, I mean, they're, because they're, you know, they're.
It's not much the Cold War. That's what's going on there. Okay, moving on. But that is the way you would assess every single one of these situations. You would have to know what is the default understanding. And therefore, sometimes by being quiet, you are taking advantage of somebody else and stealing their das. Other times by being quiet, it's their own problem. And each case is going to be case specific. Okay, fine. Before we continue and discuss what's the Reis, what's the Rabbanan, I would like to ask the following point. No. One second. Give me a second. Let me just think. I don't know how to use our time wisely.
By the way, it's not going to ask us to go over the standard expected thing for those of us who've been to these is that it can go past 10:30. People can leave when they want.
Okay.
I once asked Robert Rangel that.
It's only a 30-minute chair. That was an hour chair.
What was it advertised as? Oh, fine.
Was it even advertised as anything?
I think
we all tricked ourselves here. We all thought it was an hour.
Is going to 10:30, but I asked Reverend Rangel, he said the advertised
is going 10 o'clock, doesn't say an end
time. There's no end time on this track.
We're all stuck here until whatever
you would like to leave anybody, I totally understand. You can totally leave. No, I'm serious, but I'm going to keep going a little bit. Okay, so the next point is the following. There is an opinion over here of the Ritva on page 3. I'd like to read through the Ritva inside. There are 2 points in the Ritva. Number one. So it says the following. Vim timer. Ma hotzuch lehevi shmul bezu. Vatanya lo behedya masnis in the lakoman. E merchen eros shevus in a yudi vnei shumateyu. Right? There's a Gemara, which I skipped. It was highlighted for the learning. That there's a mefurish brisa that says you're not allowed to give meat to a goy, which is treif, with the assumption that it's kosher, because you are tricking him. So when we wanted to prove this idea that there's gnevus das that exists by non-Jews, why did the Gemara bring the story of Shmuel? Why didn't it quote a straight brisa which says that you're not allowed to trick someone and give them meat that with the assumption that's kosher? So he says the following.
Where in this page?
The Ritva, page 3 of the Ritva.
Yeah.
Kid the Omar, right? Vim Timer. Yeah. So Vyesh Lomar. So again, the Ritva's question, this is really not so important. What's important is what we get out of the Ritva. But again, basically the Ritva's question is, we have a brisa later on that says that one is not allowed to sell to a non-Jew non-kosher meat with the assumption that it's kosher. So when we wanted to prove this idea that Gnevus Das applies to non-Jews, we bring the story of Shmuel. Why would you bring a story from Shmuel, which is a story and not a conclusive proof, when you have a straight brisa that says you cannot sell treif to a non-Jew under the assumption that it is kosher? You should pick the brisa, pick the siman and shulchan aruch. Don't bring the Rebbe Shemaisa, right? Why do we do that? Says Ritzva, the imahayi have a mina davka b'mecher ki hasam shein yochol noisin damim. Avo b'dar and aimbom shugnevis das legabe ene Yehudi. So Ritzva says, because the case of Shmuel in the boat, it was a gift. It wasn't payment for the boat ride, it was a tip, right? Either he already paid him, he had some kind of arrangement, and he was giving him a gift. So says the Ritva, to tell me that Gnevus Das applies in a monetary situation where a guy thinks he's getting payment of one type and really it's another type, right? That's a Gnevus Das which I know should be also even by Gentiles, right? But a Gnevus Das of a gift, where I'm gifting a chicken to the non-Jewish cab driver, right? That I might think that I'm allowed to pull the wool over his eyes because he's non-Jewish and the Isser only applies to Jews. Says the Ritva, no, even a gift, one is not allowed to have Gnevus Das with a non-Jew. Ellie, I skipped you before also, I'm sorry. Do you want to get them both in?
I think just this one.
Okay, good.
Even for the gift you're already giving, he's already going to give you, you're already getting his goodwill by giving him a gift, no matter whether or not it's something that's...
Yeah, but there's different levels of goodwill, you know? Ellie, we'll give you a grown-up example, okay? You're not 21 yet, so I shouldn't put this on the share, right? You can give somebody, like, you know, bourbon as a gift for Shabbos, or you can give them a bottle of scotch. Now, there's a big hevdel in how much a car is telling you you're going to get from this guy, you know? You can give a guy a bottle of grape juice, or you can give him a bottle of wine, right? These are two different bull games of gifts, right? The little thing with the pretzels and the big candy thing, right? So when you give the non-Jew meat under the assumption that it's kosher, why? You would give me something that you yourself personally would eat. Whereas if you give the treif that you don't want, okay, yes, it's dinner, but it doesn't carry the same level of, yep. Fine, moving on. So the Ritva says, over here that when Shmuel gave it to the, yes?
In terms of payment, the chicken, the non-kosher chicken versus the kosher chicken, to him, the value of payment shouldn't really be any different.
That's a good point.
Whereas...
But you're still getting his das.
But it didn't. There's nothing that you're taking. It's not an extra level of goodwill. It's not an extra level of value to him.
One is purely a gift, which is what we would call in the beginning. We called it gneivas das bedvarim, right? Some kind of a verbal flattery. The other one has to do with a financial arrangement. You're touching on a point that you don't even realize you're touching on, which we're going to get to in one second. Just hold on. Oh, you do know you're touching on. I didn't mean it like that. But I was like, you're touching on a point that's actually a very large point that we're going to get to in one second. Hang on to it. Okay, I hear exactly what you're saying. Hold on to it. Okay, bye. So the reason over here is saying that what was given over here to the ferry driver was a gift, and that even is problematic by non-Jews. The Ramban, the Rashba, the Rush, and pretty much everybody else argues and says that, no, over here it was payment. And the understanding would be that if it would have been a gift, then we wouldn't have a gneivas problem with a non-Jew. So now we have found that there is a distinction here between a form of gneivas das of Dvarim, of words, right? When I give a guy a gift, it's not a business deal. I'm not doing any kind of real gneiva for him. I'm only taking his mind, and I falsified the level of the gift. If I give a guy a compliment or do something for somebody as a free gift, right? I show up to his bar mitzvah, and it looked like I flew all the way from California, but really I was in town anyway. Yeah. So then I didn't. It's not a business deal. There's no money involved there. Whereas if we're doing a business deal, and I tell him, the Gemara brings a case on the bottom to illustrate this. Also, let's say you sell a guy sandals, and you don't specify that the animal that the sandal came from was a animal that was a nevela that died in its own versus a shkuta, and an animal that dies in its own, the leather is not the same exact quality, right? So that is a business form of gneivas das. We sealed the business deal by me tricking you and lying and stealing what you thought about the deal. So over here, most Rishonim do not learn like the Ritva. This was payment. And he didn't specify when he paid the guy that it was a trefa, and when he paid him that the guy thought it was going to be actually kosher. That is a much more severe form of gneivas das. The Ritva says that even if it would have been a gift for a non-Jew, so now we have a machlokes, and we can now find there are two forms of gneivas das. For all the other Rishonim, we only see by non-Jews that a gneivas das of business is aser for non-Jews, whereas the gneivas das of dvarim, of just emotional and stealing their emotional goodwill, might be mutter to do to non-Jews and only usher to do to Jews. And we're going to elaborate that on one second. What's up, Billy?
According to the other Rishonim, why would then that it was that the story is about when he's paying him? Why wouldn't
he? It didn't say paying him. It just said give the ferryman. It actually also says pasiye, which actually the language of pacify. Quite honestly, what?
It's not a matana.
Pasiye could be a.
What's the difference between?
One is that he costs $10 to take the ferry. So either you all paid in advance, we got on the bus, fine. We're leaving the bus. He tells the attendant, go bring him a gift. Right? Versus that I didn't pay in advance. I don't have any credit with you, whatever it is, but I'm purely just going to give you a gift of gratitude, a tip. Right? That would be the difference in the case. Was it a tip or was it a payment? Hang on one second. Hold on.
If it was a payment, then why wouldn't the Gemara just bring the rice from the Bryce instead of the story?
You want to know to answer the Ritva's question. How do you answer the Ritva's question? That is a good question. It's addressed. I just want to break through the point. I don't want to get too technical in the chocolate area. Okay, good. Now, moving on. So now we found this distinction between a gneivas das in money and a gneivas das in purely something of will. The question we have to ask is the following now. That a gneivas, and not only that, there are Rishonim that learn the gneivas das is actually an iser d'oraisa, and it's learned out from the pasuk lo tignovu, do not steal, right? And being the time doesn't permit, you should know that many learn that issur is only when it involves money, not when it involves goodwill. The question we have to ask is the following: how do we ever have a gneivas das in a monetary transaction, which is not real deal gneiva? If I walked over to you, Mr. Greengard, and I told you, Rabbi Greengard, and I told you, you know, I wrote an incredible sefer. It's so broad. It covers every single area of Shas and Peskin with such depth, you know? And you can have it for the low price of $9.99, you know? Yeah, you would take it, and you open it, and you find that really I'm an artist, and the trees would have been much happier had I not published it, right? That's a Mechlechtos. That could very well be a Mechlechtos. I lied in order to steal a deal. That's real Geneva. There's also something called Onos Mammon also, where something is worth way, way less. So the Achrenim deal with this question, and they want to know. So Rav Moshe, for example, was asked the following question. Can yeshivas I don't think somebody asked him this, but I think it was an observation that was brought to Rav Moshe. So, you know, let's not slam yeshivas. Let's take it another way. Or is one allowed to cheat on some kind of a test that proves proficiency? right? To get some kind of certificate, some kind of degree, and with that degree, you're going to then have the ability to get a job, and you're going to make way more money now that you have the degree versus not. Is that a problem of Gnevas Das, right?
Oh, I would say yes.
So Rav Moshe says, that's not Gnevas Das, that's Gneva, right? Not Gnevas Das, that's Gneva. The only reason why they're giving you all that money is because you have the degree, because the degree means that you're educated and trained in a certain skill, and that is something which is valuable to the company, and that's what they're paying for. They're not paying for some guy off the street, famous Maisa of a guy who was a world-class surgeon, he invented certain techniques in surgery. Turns out he never went to medical school in the end. They revoked his license and this and that, whatever it is, you know? So, I mean, if you think about it, even though he was an incredible surgeon, but they only hired him because they thought he was a doctor. And usually medical school is supposed to yield the results that you are more skilled. I guess in this case, it didn't really matter. But usually that would be a real gnevo because you learn a skill by getting a certain certification. And if you don't have that skill in reality, even if you're an effective worker, miserable, that is a form of gnevo. So we need to clarify, when do we have a gnevo? When do we have a gnevo? So the Acharonim explained that there are two possibilities that you can have a gneva zas without a real gneva. This is, by the way, touching on what you were bothered by. You can have it where you actually give him a low price which reflects the true reality of the product, right? So if I tell you I have an incredible machine, it slices, it dices, it, you know, blah, 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 right? And I'm telling you, you can have it for $5, incredible low price, $5. Well, if you were to go to Bed Bath & Beyond, such a machine really costs $50, right? And I'm going to give it to you for $5. So it turns out it's just a carrot chopper, yeah? So at the end of the day, if that's what carrot choppers go for, there was no theft involved because you got what you paid for it as the monetary equivalent, but I totally tricked you because you might not have wanted to have bought it in the first place otherwise, and that would not necessarily be considered to be a Gneva, that wouldn't be a real theft, that would be a Gneva's Das. The other example we have is where the Pesach Choshen explains the following scenario. Oftentimes you are given usage rights to things. So let's take a practical example, a Costco membership card, right? So you have a Costco membership card and you're going to give it over to your friend who looks like you, because you know, they check the ID, right? And you tell them you can go to Costco. Now, the rules and regulations of the Costco membership card is you're not supposed to flip it to somebody else. However, if you do flip it, you are probably not going to be mevatel the arrangement you have with Costco. I'm sure if you would ask Costco, that okay, so our membership is null and void, and you return to me the balance of my membership for the rest of the year. I don't think they're going to be interested in doing that, whereas something like health insurance, for example, if you defraud health insurance and claim you're somebody else to get your prescriptions, you're in violation of the actual terms of the agreement, and your health insurance then will be taken from you. Maybe you'll be reimbursed retroactively for the rest of the year, but certain things don't function that way. You know, usage licenses on certain programs, it's not mistama understood that if you were to break the terms, all of a sudden the deal is off, right? So here we don't have a real Geneva, because of the fact that the terms are still there, the person who supplied you the item would still be happy to continue the arrangement because they want your money, right? And they don't really care so much about their terms. But, you know, when you made up the deal with them and you signed on it, you lied because you weren't planning on using it in the way in which the initial deal was made up. And that would not then be a Geneva problem. That would then be a Geneva's Das problem on a monetary transaction. Okay? So we have Geneva's Das is not just Geneva's Das takes Geneva to another level. It's not just that we're worried about actually causing somebody a loss of money or having a business deal which the deal should never have gone through in the first place. Even if the deal is still going to be valid, Gneva's Das is an iser to misuse terms, right, for a deal. So same thing with this non-Jew and the meat. Yes, he would have accepted a treif chicken as terms, but you didn't tell him it was a treif chicken. Now that you transacted, if you were to find out later on it's a treif chicken, you still paid for your boat ride. The treif chicken could have paid off the boat ride. But when you paid it to him as payment, he thought it was kosher, and therefore we don't have a Geneva problem, we have a Geneva's Das problem. We don't have a Mekach Tos. We don't say that the deal is null and void, the deal is still on, but we have this other issue of Geneva's Das, right? So pretty much what comes out on the sugya, bottom line, is that there is a discussion, it's Bedaik explaining the Rambam, if anyone has more time to keep going through the packet, I suggest you would, that there are two types of Geneva. There's a Geneva in monetary matters, as we just described. There's a Geneva for goodwill. There are many Rishonim that learn that Geneva's Das is an Isser de'oraisa, right? And there are some Rishonim that hold it's only an Isser de'rabanan, but even the ones that hold it's an Isser de'oraisa, it might only be the first category of Geneva's Das, which is monetary Geneva's Das, because that is closer to what Geneva's definition is in the Torah. So when the Torah says lo tignovo, it includes all forms of Geneva, whether it be actual theft, or whether it be causing a deal to be closed on false premises, even though it doesn't constitute an actual theft, because the sale still, or the deal, still goes through. But this idea of Gnevas Das of stealing someone's emotions, is Medayik, is in the Rambam, if you keep going to the back, you'll see, that might only be a Gzera Derabanan, and there's a discussion in the Rishonim, whether or not tricking somebody else when it's not money related, is going to apply to non-Jews or not. Comes out, according to most Rishonim, it does not happen to, it is not prohibited when it comes to non-Jews. So if you would like to, flatter your maid and tell her that you ran out to the ends of the earth to get her this New Year's present, you know? So according to many Rishonim, that would be motor, because that's not the deraisa form. There's not involved in a monetary deal. It's purely a gift, right? Whereas according to this Ritva over here, that would be problematic because the Isra even extends to Gnevas Das of Dvarim, even for non-Jews. Whether or not it's also or not, it's probably not a very nice thing to do, you know, so you should stay away from it. But the question is, technically, is it also?
Also Midvar Sheker Tirchak.
Midvar Sheker Tirchak, exactly. You're right, it's a lie. That's a lie also. So the question is, that's a good point. It's a lie. Yeah. Exactly. There are heterim, by the way, on lying. There are cases, but just because the heter on lying, there may not be a heter for Gnevas Das. That could also be where there's a naf kumina, like as far as for Shalom purposes, for Tznius, one's allowed to lie. Yeah.
Now, there's a clause here in the Ritva that says this applies makom she'ein chil Hashem b'davar. The question is,
That's true according to all place game. Whatever you're going to get involved with, is going to matter if there's a chil Hashem. Also, even if we can paskin that something is mutter, it's for a Gnevas Das, which is mutter to a non-Jew, non-monetary related, you have to worry always about chil Hashem. Just really quick before we end, just to give a practical example, Gnevas Das, aside from Costco, let's say a person is going to sign on a piece of paper that he's a big gvir, big millionaire, and he says he donated tons of money to a certain cause. Is he allowed to do that to spur other people to donate money as well too? Is he allowed to lie? Is he allowed to lie and falsify and say that he gave a lot? Now, it's not a problem of lying. It's Tvar Mitzvah, could be Pikuach Nefesh, whatever it could be. Well, I could come up with why it might not be a problem for lying. Well, leave the lying out. But Mitzvah, the Gnevas Das, would that be problematic? So, Pisach Hushin,
yeah. You're not stealing anyone's goodwill in that situation, though.
Yeah, but you're tricking them into paying up.
If
Ruchaikovsky signed and said, I just gave $3,000 to Shmita, won't you, right? That's very different than if Ruchaikovsky says, I gave $5 to Shmita, won't you, right? That's going to affect what you are going to do. What do you mean?
Well, no, maybe not. I mean, no.
Oh, so maybe you don't like Ruchaikovsky, but somebody who you do like.
No, maybe I don't have the money to give that time.
But if you were going to give 10 cents, he'll give 20 cents now. Whatever it is, the point is that it changed your way of thinking, that it's going to cause you to put out more cash. So Bislach Hashem said that this would definitely not be the deraisa of it being a monetary problem, because tzedaka is not a business deal, it's a mitzvah, and we don't assume that you're stealing from someone by causing them to give more tzedaka. But this very well says, he says, is the problem with Gnevas Das of Dvarim, that you stole their emotional state of being, and that probably would be usher. He gives another example. Let's say that we have a raffle, and we sell tickets to people, right? And then we go ahead, and all the unsold tickets we throw in there. We also throw those in also, right? Would that be allowed or not allowed? So again, he said that would not be a Gnevas Das of Mammon, because again, everyone's das is to give toward tzedakah. The idea that it was a raffle, we shouldn't say motivated them to give the money, therefore the deal is null and void. But it is a Gnevas Das of a person's emotional state, which is also usher, seemingly derabanan, because they gave with the knowledge that there would be only whoever paid money for a ticket would have the right to go in, and now you have taken their das, and it would still be usher, right?
Or you might have dina machlusa because that regulates.
You would also have dina machlusa, assuming that you don't have dina machlusa. But there are plenty of times when this comes up, and pretty much any time where you can justify and say, you know, this is not really stealing, but you're violating the terms, especially in a monetary deal. You got to be very careful, because that could very well be an Issur D'oraisa even with non-Jews. You know? It's what to be careful for.
It makes me think of like kosher certification companies who say, like, oh, kosher products are healthier, or
yeah,
there's extra supervision.
Yeah. But I don't think they do that. I think it's the owner of the company.
They let that impression persist in any case.
Then you are a toyo nashe, because, you know, the companies know, CEOs and executives and companies know, when they hire, you know, a mashgiach to come, and he's just checking to see if the Jew pushed the button for the fire. They know that nothing, you know. Whereas when you go to Costco, you buy these fancy, you know, chips or whatever it is, on the back it says gluten free, vegan, kosher. You know, right. the company did that. The Hashkacha didn't do that. That's Iwa Taya Nashe. They're tricking themselves. You know,
I mean, the company's benefiting from the fact that non-Jews are
right.
being misled.
So, but who did the misleading? The company or the? So, if it was a Jewish company, that might be problematic. Uh-huh. If it was really owned by I don't know. Why am I blinking on Jewish company names? It was
Pashkes.
Right, it was Pashkes who put it out with the gluten-free kosher, you know, right?
Why is
then, that might be, that might
kosher,
be problematic. What?
Why is saying something is kosher a question of Ganeva's does?
Now we have to get back to this thesis. We have to assess what is the Stam understanding. I think that non-Jews are educated enough to know that kosher is not
a
health food.
Choose to buy kosher.
I know. I was once. We just had one of my children.
Okay, they wanted. They think
hold on. I'm turning off.
The holy rabbi blessed it.
So Rav Moshe has a great child. Are you ready for this one? He says, "What if a non-Jew wants to rent your apartment? I'll tell you, leave the mezuzahs up." They're into these things. They like Eastern religions. They know the mezuzah is a shmira, and they want you to leave the mezuzah up. Are you allowed to? Now, it's actually an iser in Shulchan Aruch to leave the mezuzah up. There are certain heterim, the Ramah, Zalt Eva, etc. So Rav Moshe says, well, let's put a puzzle mezuzah in. Or says, no, even a puzzle mezuzah is something that needs to be taken care of. Okay, let's just put a forged mezuzah in. It's not on cloth. It's not nothing. We can write Chinese, right? They're not going to know the difference. He says, Ganeva's das. It is a Gnevas Das problem. And it can even be, even Rosh doesn't say this, but according to our discussion, that can even be a higher level Gnevas Das of Mammon, because even though, yes, that's not going to ruin the rental agreement of the apartment, that is not intrinsic to the rental agreement of the apartment, but that was part of the things that sealed the deal. That could almost be, the way we're learning, touching on possibly an Isra Deraisa, because it's this form of Gnevas Das involving money, because that was one of the motivations for the non-Jew to settle on your apartment and not somebody else's apartment. So these type of things happen. No, really quick, just funny story. We had a kid, and I went to go buy my wife wraps to go and HC, and I'm in line, and there was a non-Jewish person in front of me, a certain race, who saw there were two tuna sandwiches available, and she asked the lady, what's the difference between them? So they said, this one is kosher, this one is not kosher, mm-hmm. right? So the woman said, ooh, kosher, that's good for my diet, right? And at that moment I realized that Chaim Gabay's Parnassa has been decreed in Shemayim on Rosh Hashanah, because this is totally illogical, you know? I don't think that's the norm. I can't imagine that you have a Gnevas Das problem, because, you know, I think that's a, I mean, it's fine. Okay, very good.